Sister Phillips, thank you so much. So we've only had phone conversations. This is the first time we're meeting in person. But I have to tell you, over the phone, I felt like she was just giving me a great big hug. And when I saw her, I wanted to hug her. But you know, we're in a global pandemic, so we have to be cognizant of that. But thank you so much just for your kindness and the love that you've shown me. I am happy to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know about y'all. Let me tell you, I was telling Dr. Brian, I said, I haven't been in a church probably since January of 2020, so it just feels good. And I said, I'm not going to act up. I'm going to stick to my notes. But sometimes when you start to think about how good God has been, the fact that we made it through a global pandemic, we're still going through it, but God has shown us so much mercy. We talk about mercy, faithfulness, grace, and we just thank him for that on today. So I'm going to stick to my notes. I'm going to behave because I'm a guest in this house, but I just thank God for everything that he's done. Dr. Freeman, I want to honor you and honor your wife in her absence. A funny story, we did meet in front of the Carver Center and you spoke a few words of encouragement. You probably thought those were simple words of encouragement. What he did not know is prior to that, my day was just in disarray. My interviews weren't lining up. It was just a downward spiral. You came, you spoke to me, and I feel like that was just a moment ordained by God. Because after that, literally the trajectory of my day began to change. Things started working out. And so I thank God for that moment, which I feel has led to this moment. And so I'm just grateful to you for that. And I wanted to publicly thank you for that. So to the wonderful women of Ebenezer, 77 years. 77 years. That is absolutely phenomenal, amazing for a ministry to last that long. We're going to do just a brief history lesson really quickly. A lot has changed in 77 years. We do know that. Back then, milk was 60 cents a gallon. Can you believe that? 60 cents a gallon. Bread was 9 cents a loaf. A house, get this, a house was about $8,000. Now think about in Austin how much it is now. We're being priced out and, well, that's another story we'll get to on another day. Gas was 21 cents. We know so much has changed in 77 years, even the faces of this wonderful congregation. But we know one thing that has remained the same, and that is the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of your ministry, not only to the women in these four walls, but in Austin, in Central Texas, and well beyond. So women's ministry, we just honor you on today, and we thank you for your dedication and your commitment to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So right now, if we can just turn back to our text, I know we just read it, but if we can just go back to that, Lamentations 3:19 through 25. Verse 19 reads, I remember my affliction and my wondering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every single morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. I'm going to go back to verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great God is your faithfulness. So just for a few moments, if I could speak to you from the title of Great Expectations. If you can just say that with me and get it in your spirit, Great Expectations, Great Expectations, Great Expectations. Father, we just thank you for this moment, Lord. We pray that you meet us in the sanctuary, Lord. We pray that you fill every part of this sanctuary, Lord. Regulate our minds, God. Ease the burdens in our heart, Lord. And we pray that we have an encounter with you like we've never had before. We thank you so much for the word that you're about to bring. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Great expectations, great expectations. So as a journalist, there is this unspoken expectation that in an 8-hour day, sometimes it's a little more than 8 hours, that you will have all of the elements you'll need for a story that you see on your nightly newscast that's 1 minute and 30 seconds. So all that work for 1 minute and 30 seconds, the stories that you see on your television screen. According to an article from CNBC that cites CareerCast, it says a news reporter is one of the top 10 most stressful jobs in America. And I said, I need to contact CareerCast because I need to validate what they said, because that is nothing but the truth. So from there, what people don't see, the grueling 8 to 10 hours that we work prior to that 1 minute and 30 second story you see on your newscast. In those 8 hours, this is what's happening. You're developing story ideas. You're researching. You're pitching those story ideas to your producer. And that's what many people like to call the shark tank, because it is a very unnerving place. From there, you're waiting for approval. You're making calls for interviews. And one day, I remember I called about 30 people just trying to get one or two interviews for my story. You're doing all of this under a very tight deadline. And you still have to get the interviews. You have to get the video for your story. You're also sending emails just to get data, to get context for that story, that 1 minute and 30 second story. And for me, I don't know about my colleagues, but for me, I'm praying. I stay on bended knees asking God, Lord, please just let someone answer my phone call. Let someone answer my emails. And then from there, let them say that, yes, I will do an interview with you. So for me and my job, I have to have great expectations that the story will come together. And fortunately, because of the God I serve, it always does. Somehow, some way, regardless of the stress, it always, always comes together. So if we look at the onset of our text, it talks about new mercies and compassions every morning. Now for me, that hits a little different because I know that the news cycle, I never know what the day can bring. It gets really, really hectic, really crazy. You don't know what a day is going to bring. Although there is uncertainty every single day, day to day, hour to hour, second to second, I know about those mercies and those compassions that we talk about in Lamentations. And I know they have never failed me and they never will. And that is why every day I have to wake up with great expectations. So the verses we just read in chapter 3, they are laced with hope. They're laced with great expectations from Jeremiah. But if you go back to the beginning of this book, you might be a little perplexed, or maybe it's just me, but I was a little perplexed at how did he get to this point? Here's a little context. If you read Lamentations, you know that it is one of the most poetic books of the Bible, but it lives up to its name. It's a really heavy book, a really sad book. And right now it paints a tragic picture of the sin and the fall of Jerusalem. In the beginning of the book, Jeremiah writes about the destruction of a city that's under siege. The temple and the throne being destroyed, the Lord throwing down his wrath, young and old lying in the streets. And this part really got me. Mothers eating their offspring because food was so scarce. So you can really feel the depths of the despair, especially when Jeremiah in chapter 1 writes, my eye overflows with water, my soul is troubled, my paths are crooked, my chain is heavy. Even when I cry and shout, God shuts out my prayer. Unfortunately, I feel like for many of us, these are some of the same sentiments that we've experienced in the past year. Our country, our economy, our families, and our friends, devastated by a global pandemic. In the midst of the turmoil and despair that Jeremiah experienced then and that many of us experience now, he still had hope in what he knew to be true about God, his God, our God, about his mercies and about his compassions and about his faithfulness. Knowing that God cannot deny himself, and he always, always keeps his promises. And we've seen that in Hebrews 10:23, which says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So how can we have hope in the hardships and great expectations? How can we have hope during all those tests, the trials, the turmoil, the tribulations of life? We had all of those things in our normal lives, and we know that when things kind of get back to normal, we know that those will return. So what do we do? Well, number one, so my dad's a former pastor, so he told me you need to have 3 points. So this is my first point right here. Number one, proactive praise. Have a proactive praise. So many of us are in need of a change. I don't know about you. We are in need of a change, of a breakthrough, whether that be financial, whether that be emotional, whether that be physical, whether it be for a child who has gone astray, whether it be for a marriage that you might feel like is failing. We all need a change and we all need a breakthrough. Instead of worrying though, friends, about what's not happening or what's not changing, thank God for the victory that's coming your way. Give yourself that booster shot like we talk about Sister Phillips, like we need. Give him a proactive praise. Let that be your booster shot. So that means you don't just open up your mouth on a Sunday when the choir's singing good. And y'all sing real good today. When the choir's singing good, don't just open up your mouth then. When the preacher is preaching good, when he's preaching on your street, he's on your street. Don't just open your mouth and praise him then. Praise God on a Monday when you're driving to that job that you don't like. Praise him on a Wednesday when you feel like you have no strength to make it over the hump of the week. I guarantee you, and I'm speaking to myself right now, if you stop murmuring, if you stop complaining, and you just start praising him like Paul and Silas did in the midnight hour, your conversations will change, your mind will change, and then your situation will change. Give him a proactive praise. So how can we have great expectations and hope? This is point number two, and it's very simple. Press rewind. Press rewind. So one of my fondest childhood memories, and you all probably know where I'm going with this, is going to Blockbuster. My parents typically didn't, I'm the only child, they typically didn't let me go over just anybody's house. So they would have to get references, a credit check, background check, all of that. So typically what they did, they would let me invite my friends over from church on Friday nights. We would all pile in the minivan and then we would go to Blockbuster. One thing that I just could never figure out was when you opened up the tape, it said, please be kind, rewind. Please be kind, rewind. It wasn't until I got older that I started to understand the importance of rewinding, especially in my life. Because when we rewind back the situations of life, we see just how good God is. And he kept us from situations that literally could have wiped us off of the face of this earth. He let the doctors find diseases and cancers in you just in time for them to operate, which saved your life. He released you from jobs, from friendships, from relationships. Maybe it's just me that could have landed you in a mental institution, but he saved you from that. He gave you a job that maybe you weren't even credentialed for, but now you've surpassed every single person in that company. So maybe you can't go that far back. I can, but maybe you can't because your life has been a crystal stair. My life has been no crystal stair, but maybe yours has. So if that's you, just rewind over the past year. You see how God kept you in the land of the living when a mysterious virus killed hundreds of thousands of people all across the world, including some who are near and dear to us. You're still here though. You're still here at home, walking around your house, going to the refrigerator, getting something to eat, checking your phone or your bank account, seeing the money that's been deposited in there because you can pay your bills. So pressing rewind should stir up a praise in you so great, that all you have is a spirit of expectancy, knowing that greatness lies ahead. If you need that booster shot, Sister Phillips, press rewind. Lastly, because we can only do 3 points, right? Lastly, how do you have great expectations and just hope for the future? 4 words, and this is very simple as well. Stand on his promises. Stand on his promises. So God's word is filled with so many promises. Promises about deliverance, joy, hope, peace, provision, and love. In this season, we need to claim all of those promises over our lives. We have to do that. And here's a few that I'm reminded of. The promise in Psalm 46:5. Ladies, someone said, uh-oh. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The promise in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. This is a personal favorite of mine, and I'm sure it's a personal favorite of many in here as well. Jeremiah 29:11. I read and meditate on this day and night. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Or Psalm 91, you can read this one for your homework, but God promises to cover us if we trust in him. It's such a prophetic word, especially in a time like this. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. This one sums it up for me. Joshua 23:14b. Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all of your heart and your soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. So as we close, I do challenge you to write down three things that you are expecting from God this year based on all of those promises you see in the scriptures. And then from there, I want you to just praise him in advance for those things that he will perform. Not that he might perform, not that he may be performed, but that he will perform in your life. Knowing that the faithfulness of God and his promises, that's the booster we need. So from this point forward, I challenge you to have great expectations and just have hope, knowing God is going to do exceedingly, ooh, I get happy when I say that, and abundantly, above all we can ever ask or think. So what do you need? A proactive praise? You press rewind? And then from there, you stand on his promises knowing that God is going to do so much in your life that is absolutely going to blow your mind. Amen.
That was a great God hug.
Yes.
There is no spiritual distance in here. I can say that much. Great expectations. Proactive praise. Press rewind. And stand on his promises. Expect that God is always faithful. The past year or so has been a time of darkness for many of us. But we're blessed to have been vaccinated with God's favor upon our lives. During our ups and downs, we knew that there was a Savior who was there. Yes, we still need booster shots, but we know where to go to get it. We go back to that place where we first believed. Maybe someone is worshiping with us on this Zoom platform who feels like they need to be protected from a life of doubt, confusion, and anxiety. You want to know where to turn. And we suggest to you our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Jesus is waiting patiently for you, waiting for you to give your life, waiting to give you that shot of hope and security, trusting with your life. All you need to do is confess, Lord, I want to receive your salvation, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. We will be protected. If you want to get in touch with the pastor, please call, email, whatever it is, any method that you may send word, we'll get back with you. If you want to join with the family of God here at Ebenezer or some other place of worship, we'd be happy to do whatever it is you feel comfortable with. Even if you feel comfortable putting it on the chat, in the chat box. Just give us contact information, but don't wait. Don't wait at all, because until we get right, because God has to clean us all up. And so we ask now that you will remember our God as being faithful and stand on his promises.